When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain. And after he had sat down, his disciples came to him. He began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you and utter every kind of evil against you falsely because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
When Jesus goes up the mountain, his heart filled with blessings, passionately desiring to distribute those gifts, not only to his first listener friends, but to us in this present moment. Jesus is, first of all, in the Beatitudes, describing himself. He is revealing his very person. He is the one preeminently poor in spirit, clean of heart, the peacemaker, the one who will mourn over our sins, weep in the face of our mortality, who will empty himself, becoming a slave, taking upon himself all of the insults and the torments, precisely so that we can have the kingdom of heaven. This week, I received a note from a former student of mine from years and years ago that I offer to illuminate today's great feast. This is what he writes. "I hope this note finds you well and that we have an opportunity to see each other soon. I thought you should know that the lessons over the 2 decades ago from your class continue to guide and inspire me. Among the many other blessings, events, and trials of life, great Catholic thinkers, that's the name of the course. I could have called it, these are a few of my favorite things. I basically put together in a binder the wisdom of other people that I had encountered that changed my life, the truth, the goodness, the beauty that I discovered that I wanted to pass on for other people to have. Great Catholic thinkers. It remains a cornerstone of my life. I have now opened my own architecture firm, not in small part for reasons of being able to express and share my faith and the values of the true, the good, and the beautiful to their utmost in this vocation to which I've been called. God has blessed me and my family with this and many other things. Thank you for this gift, which continues to bear fruit. Sincerely, and God bless." If we can imagine Jesus going up the mountain, his heart filled with those blessings, if we can imagine him as the divine architect, In the literal sense of the word architect, tekton in Greek means craftsman. So Joseph, the husband of Mary, for example, was a tekton, a craftsman, not just a carpenter, but somebody who works with any material and brings it into its own. The Greek word arche means beginning or first. So, or most important. So the architect is the first craftsman, the worker of the beginning. And God, in fashioning the universe, fashions it so that we, his masterpiece, the ones who will benefit from the incarnation of God taking on our humanity, can be built up into a holy city. The Bible begins in a garden with that first couple, and it ends in a city that includes multitudes. And we heard them described in the first reading from the book of Revelation. The 144,000, the people of Israel, the chosen ones, the 12 tribes times 1,000, 12 times 12 times 1,000, let 1,000 stand for multitude. And then a further multitude surrounding them that nobody could count, that was innumerable from every race, language, nation. The whole world is contained in this city. What inspired the student is a portion of the course that I taught on the new urbanism. Some of you may be familiar with this. It began a few decades ago. It was an attempt to recover how to design a traditional city. So in a traditional city, everything that you need to be human is within 10 minutes walking distance. The cities that we live in now, including Fort Wayne, were actually not designed primarily for human beings. They were designed for automobiles. They were designed for us to get into automobiles and travel farther than ordinary human beings could comfortably travel in a day. Jesus institutes what we can call the new urbanism of new urbanism. He wishes to design our life around divine goodness so that when we study that goodness in other people and acknowledge that the source of that goodness is God, so rather than being jealous of the person or envying the person, we recognize the goodness in that person comes from the Lord. And when we're thankful for that and we make that goodness our own, we can't help but feel the desire welling up in us to pass it on. And when we pass it on, the goodness doesn't go away or diminish, it actually expands, it multiplies. And guess what? God is glorified. This, my friends, my brothers and sisters, is God's salvation delivery system. This is the architecture of what it is to be formed into saints. I mentioned this to the grade school kids yesterday. I pass it on to you. As an example, I love living with Father Caleb, Father Valentine, Father Zane. My heart fills with joy at our frat house. Christian fraternity all the way down. So I just give one example. Father Zane loves his parents. Doesn't just love them in an ordinary, predictable way, but actively delights in them. They're like a magnet that draws him home on his day away. And he loves spending hours and hours with them. When I study that delight that he has, that goodness alive in him, I recognize that it comes from God. So when I study that, I actually thank the Lord for giving him his parents and for allowing that delight to live in him. Then, of course, we could think, well, where did his parents get the goodness that Father Zane delights in? Well, presumably from their parents, or members of the family, or network of friends. So I have to thank the Lord for those people as well. Well, where did they get that? Well, I have to thank the Lord for those who gave it to them to give it to those who gave it to Father Zane so that I can receive it in my heart. And this week, my parents are celebrating their 60th wedding anniversary, and I get to go home, and I get to delight in that goodness alive in them. And I can't help but take the goodness that I received from Father Zane, that delight, of course, making it my own because there's no cloning, but his joy has become my joy. And when I share that joy with my parents, that gives glory to God. And it also builds up those whose lives are connected to my family's life. The amazing thing about this particular student is that he decided to become a new urbanist architect. It's a niche profession in the great profession of architects. So he builds livable places that human beings can walk to in 10 minutes or less. The truth is, every single one of us are apprentices of the divine architect. In the architecture of our families and our friendships, we have innumerable opportunities to study the good, which is to say the blessings, the beatitudes, which come from God. And when we make these our own, when they overflow in us and we share them, we are organically building up not only a more livable place for human beings this side of paradise, which is not a small thing, but we are also fundamentally receiving and extending the kingdom of heaven. This is the miracle of today, that we have been brought into existence to become saints, for the goodness of God to live in us and multiply in us, to be shared from us, so that in the end, God, infinitely perfect in himself, who in his plan of sheer goodness created the whole architecture of the universe so that God could be worshiped as God, eternally, infinitely glorious in all of his saints.